My name is Frank Dirks.
For Catholic Radio in South Carolina.
And we are in the offices of His Excellency Jacques Fabre Jeune, the 14th Bishop of Charleston. Your Excellency, thank you so much for having us here with you today.
Thank you, and I salute and greet everyone connected to this media.
Well, this is a wonderful opportunity for the diocese to get to know you through Catholic Radio, so we're really blessed to have this opportunity.
To know part of me, it would be difficult to know all of me.
Well, that's true. That's absolutely true. Well, we'll give it a start.
Indeed.
Tell us about growing up with your family in Haiti.
It was a beautiful experience. We are six brothers and sisters, three girls and three boys. My father was a Seventh-day Adventist, carpenter, hardworking. He was working for missionaries from the States. Mm-hmm. So he had to learn English. And I remember he used to tell me that because we are working with Americans, we have to be on time. So that was something very interesting. Sometimes I would go with him when they were building facility, which was both a seminary and also a university. And my mother was a Catholic and part of the Legion of Mary, what they call a curia, which is in charge of many presidia in Haiti. In the morning, I would go to church at 6 o'clock in the morning by myself, later with my little brother. So, middle class, very interesting, and learning, education is a big thing for us Haitians. For example, if you go to Haiti, I went back after many years, I went back to Haiti, and I saw a lot of young people at a gas station. I said, what's going on? And they were all studying because they had no electricity at home. So they used to use the gas station to study until 10, 11 o'clock.
And your family came to the United States. That was around when you were a teenager.
So. Yes. Things were getting rough financially in Haiti then. And because of the dictatorship, Duvalier, my parents were afraid because we were growing up and a lot of young people either had to join the Duvalier's force or you would be accused of being against the government. So my mom decided first with the consent of my dad, to come here first because they're looking for a lot of workers for factories in New York. So she came first. For 4 years, we were by ourselves in Haiti. Then we joined her with the rest of the family, and I was only 16.
As a teenager, what was that cultural transition like for you?
Oh, it was rough.
Yeah.
It was in 1971. It was right after the death of Martin Luther King. There was a lot of riots in Brooklyn. And being Haitian and going into a whole black Catholic high school, it was difficult for us to fit in. I learned how to play basketball. I was part of that process of enculturating ourselves within both the American in general.
How did your parents help with your faith formation?
Oh, my mother would take us to church every Sunday. We couldn't stay at home at all. She was also involved with priests that were later exiled from Haiti. They were the Holy Ghost Fathers. They used to give a formation every Saturday to lay people, and my mother would go. And so what I would hear, what she was learning in terms of scripture, theology, that helped me form my faith.
And how did you respond and cooperate the call to the priesthood?
The first thing my mother did when we came to the States is to take us to church, the parish, St. Teresa of Avila. It was the first Haitian priest in New York. This one was coming from France. That's where he studied. So he had a lot of activities for young people. We used to have Bible study, which was the theater. That was helpful. And also with the community, with the Legion of Mary, the Boy Scouts, then that's how I responded to the faith, slowly getting into that love to serve. And I really believe if we want a lot of young people to join the priesthood, we have to give them participation in service. I've seen that in the States now, they're trying to move back. When I was in my parish now, San Felipe de Jesus, a lot of young people are coming to the community service because that tendency, you have to get paid for everything. That's excluded people from services. Even in church, you know, when you ask a young person to do something, how much are you going to pay?
Mm-hmm.
And service is very important, not only for priests, but to do certain services that has to be done within the community that you don't have to get paid for.
So right after graduating from St. John University, you joined the Scalabrinian missionaries.
I was in Sardana College.
Okay.
In engineering, civil engineering. So that's when I entered after I was 2 or 3 years in science, total science. And I joined the congregation. That's why I went to St. John's University. I did 2 years of philosophy because I already had 3 years of college.
So was it the call to the priesthood or to their missionary focus on immigrant communities and serving immigrants? Or was there a nice synergy?
Not at all.
Okay.
My first choice was to go to Africa.
Hmm.
The missionary, I think, was that push toward not even priesthood, but to be a missionary. Then I, with a friend of mine who came to the ordination, he was a seminarian, and then I joined the Scalabrini Fathers, and I didn't know the difference in charism. Mm. I just wanted to be a priest and missionary.
And your Episcopal motto is, "You who do for the least of my children, you do to me," Matthew 25:40. How does that kind of drive your focus as a priest and now as a bishop?
I know a lot of people think about it in terms of materials. But now, if I would ask you what would be the least, I'm sure probably you will not come up with what I'm thinking about. It's depression. A lot of people are living depression. It's going to be more and more as the cost of life is rising. People have more things in mind to do and with little possibility. So that would be the least. For example, young people who are denying the faith, they are the least. And of course, it goes to material or people who are not accepted, they are the least. And if we look at the Gospel of St. John, Jesus identified himself with the little one. Let the children come to me. That's an identification of with the little one. The stranger, and it's repeated so many times, they never recognize Jesus. He was a stranger all the time, the unseen one. So whoever was not fully participating in life is a little one.
How has the Holy Spirit guided your growth as a priest and now as a bishop?
And I'm afraid of the Holy Spirit because it always gives me surprises. And one of them is become bishop. I never thought about it. When I was studying in Canada, everyone was given a task to go to a parish for their pastoral experience. And I was given the parish that no one wanted to be because it was charismatic and problematic group. So that's where I learned what the Holy Spirit can do. So able to bring those people together. And I learned how you can experience living your faith, a lively faith, without the extreme that can come. But that's what I see the Holy Spirit in. And even learning Spanish. When they sent me to learn Spanish in Mexico, in 1991, I said, what am I going to learn Spanish when I'm just learning English without knowing that it's going to be? And that's work of the Holy Spirit. And as you can see how God, through the Holy Spirit, has been working with me and now asking me to be in a place that I ever dreamt of, just have to open to it and see what the Holy Spirit wants. Not only for me, for the diocese.
Well, sadly, a lot of people don't see that the Holy Spirit is actually working in the world. How do you see the Holy Spirit working in the world today?
Things that we think that we're in charge. And all of a sudden that we see that we are not in charge. There must be a higher being. There must be something, a response, not a human response to things. And that's how I see the Holy Spirit working. And we come, we don't use the same language many times. But when people come together, countries come together, leaders come together, even when they are in opposite stance on issues, they can sit down and talk. That's the work of the Holy Spirit.
If you are just joining us, my name is Frank Dirks for Catholic Radio in South Carolina, and I'm speaking with His Excellency Jacques Fabre-Jeune, Bishop of the Diocese of Charleston, South Carolina.
How is your missionary experience? How are you going to bring that to your work as bishop now?
A missionary is always in the process of learning, not imposed on others. We've learned through experience that each place is so diverse. I can see that missionary spirit is teaching me already to see the beauty, to uncover what the people of Charleston, what do they have unique that I haven't seen in New York or in Miami or in Atlanta, that uniqueness. And that's what I'm searching to see.
Well, at your installation, you were joking that you want your priests to bring you many, many, many confirmations and keep you traveling across the state and very busy. But sadly, today, after confirmation, so many young people drift away from the faith. What can we do, all of us, do to keep Christ front and center of our young people?
And that has been my message in all confirmation. Once they begin confirmation, they have to start doing something of service. That's one way to keep them. The other challenge is to bring a liturgy that can talk to them, because we're using languages that we understand. If you ask any young person, what is salvation? What is redemption? That's foreign language to them. Families have to begin to talk our faith language in the family. Talk about God, talk about church. And also young people, they will tell me, I don't believe in God. When I say, why you don't believe? Then they begin to rationalize, because it's the mind attitude toward life. So therefore, we have to speak the language that they can translate in their own mind, their own reality, but it has to go after the spirit, not trying to explain it so much with the mind.
Well, as Catholics, we're all called to evangelize. How should the laity respond to this call?
First of all, the challenge for us is to witness it with our lives. I would challenge anyone that says, I don't like you because of your whatever. Is God your father? Yes, because my father, yes, and so therefore we are brothers. We cannot get out of it. But if we say we are brothers and we treat at least my brothers, I will treat them with respect and I try to protect them. Even if they make a mistake, I will protect them. Do we do the same in church? Do we do the same with Christianity? So once we begin to live that, the faith, I think it's going to be 90%. Then the 10% is to be explicit with evangelization and, of course, the Word of God.
As Bishop, what's your call to the laity in South Carolina to help you build our church?
I know the way that you present it, they're not going to help me. They're going to help Jesus. If we all are helping Jesus to build the kingdom, not the church, but kingdom, that means it's more open than the structure. It's the kingdom is wherever we are. So we all have the responsibility to build it. The verse is from Matthew. We're going to be judged according to what we've done in building the kingdom. So once we know that, there's an afterlife or there isn't. If there is one, we are going to be judged the way that we participate, not for the perfection, to each person's gift, how we participated in building the kingdom of God. And that's what we want to build in Charleston.
If you are just joining us, my name is Frank Dirks for Catholic Radio in South Carolina, and I'm speaking with His Excellency Jacques Fabre June, Bishop of the Diocese of Charleston, South Carolina.
So, how can Catholic Radio in South Carolina, Catholic Media in South Carolina, help you shepherd your flock?
Definitely. By taking time of simple things that I was, like I was saying, talk about salvation. Allow people to ask questions and answer. And of course, invite the shepherd to talk like we're doing now. And I think that's the way that will be very helpful, because it's still powerful. Still, there's a large segment of society that is listening. So, yes.
Well, Your Excellency, thank you so very much for your time. May I ask you to close with a blessing?
Certainly. And let us close our eyes. When we do that, we open our heart. And we have to remember every blessing from a Catholic priest or deacon or bishop is always a communal blessing. Three persons, God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. In each one, I never see anywhere that where the Father is trying to be the Son or the Son trying to be the Holy Spirit. Each one plays their own role, but the unity of love in the three persons of the of Godhead is what we receive. And that gives us unity, community, togetherness, and of course, when we are the togetherness we have strength. And may God bless you. Bless your families. Bless the young ones that are searching for truth, searching for life. And everyone that is probably today is feeling down, feeling depressed, scared of what is going to happen with our country, with the world. We may trust God. Do not be afraid. Jesus said it 3 times before he left us. May God bless you, in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Your Excellency.
Thank you.
Catholic Radio in South Carolina.